Welcome to Season 2 of the Craft Beer Connoisseurs Podcast. I'm Tyler. If you're new to the podcast, we're three friends and a producer who like to showcase craft breweries and their beers. Also, we like to end every episode with a short conversation on a variety of different topics. If you're not new to the podcast, well, welcome back. We will keep things similar to Season 1. After all, if it isn't broken, don't fix it. Whether you're new or returning, please feel free to listen to all of our Season 1 content. And remember to follow us on Instagram at craftbeercons, send a friend request on Untapped, or subscribe on YouTube at craftbeerconnoisseurs. Also, drop a comment, like, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Now for today's episode. Welcome to the Craft Beer Connoisseurs. I'm Tyler.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Brett. And along with us today is producer Bennett.
Hi, Bennett.
Hey, Bennett.
Hello.
Well, in today's episode, we're going to be reviewing Junction Craft Brewery, which is in Toronto, Ontario.
Very nice. And like every other episode, we're going to be having two beers today. The first is Junction Craft Pilsner, and the second is their Crispy Light Lager.
And to finish up the episode, we're going to talk about our plans for the summer of 2022.
All right, and we are back. So Junction is located at 150 Symes Road in the Stockyards District of Toronto. Junction Craft Brewery has been around since 2011, where their mission has been to produce exceptional beer, honor tradition, but still make beers for the modern beer drinking that we're going to be experiencing today in 2022.
Yes, it is 2022.
Yeah,
it is. Amazing. Yeah. So the 16,000 square foot building itself sits in an old City of Toronto art decor. Let's see, incinerator.
There you go.
Which was known as the Destructor.
Oh, that's
the
cool.
Destructor.
Right? And it was decommissioned in the 80s, used for raves in the 90s.
Whoa.
But, right? And then beautifully restored in 2018. And it's actually an award-winning heritage building with an intimate yet spacious tap room.
I feel like they should have called their brewery Destructor Brewery. That would have been so cool.
Maybe. Or like at least have a beer called the Destructor.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. So the land in which Junction is on sits on the traditional territory of the Seneca, the Huron-Wendat, and the Mississaugas of the New Credit. The land is covered by the Dish with One Spoon Covenant, and that's an agreement between the Haudenosaunee and the Anishinaabe peoples to peacefully share and care for the lands and resources around the Great Lakes.
Yes. So in October of 2021, Junction initiated a formal restructuring, allowing them to streamline their finances, operations, and adapting the business to a post-COVID world, and have since created a parent company, Junction Craft Beverage Co., which enables them to build their portfolio into more of a multi-brand co-packing business model.
Very nice. Yeah, so within the creation of this company, Junction brand, along with Care Brew, They've recently just acquired Woodhouse Brewing, which was just a couple weeks ago, right? Which they're also out of Toronto. So kind of, you know, complement their portfolio. So Graham Woodhouse, the founder, will also be joining the JCBC as vice president of sales. And this allows them, as they were one of the largest contract brewers in Ontario, to join an even larger organization and access new channels. So it's nice to see the two kind of coming together. Mm-hmm. So to date now, Junction has over 70 different products from more than 30 different craft consumer brands and breweries. Cool. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Like Woodhouse is definitely, you know, their beers are everywhere. Like you see them in all the LCBOs, all the grocery stores. So that's definitely a good pickup for them. Mm-hmm. Junction too. I mean, you see them around. Yeah. So Junction's community is their namesake. And with this, they allow 1% of employee time to give back through volunteer work and 5% of Cara Brew sales, their lager and their IPA, go back to local charities within the area. So we've seen definitely a lot of breweries before do this charity, charity work. I don't know if we've seen on the podcast, at least another brewery, you know, allow their employees to spend a lot of time doing, you know, that volunteer work, right?
Right.
Good on them.
Yeah, it is
and,
good.
And you've seen some other larger corporations, some banks that have actually kind of done the same model. So it is
totally.
It's nice to see that kind of mold itself into the craft beer industry.
Agreed. So in terms of Junction beers, there's over 55,000 check-ins on Untapped with an average rating of 3.49. And for our sake, we're just going to stick with the Junction Care Brew brands, not with the Woodhouse ones. Mm. So for myself, I've had four. And the highest rated was a 4.5, and that was a blood orange sour. I remember seeing that beer last year in the LCBO and being really, like, I need to grab that because blood orange sours you really don't see very, very often.
Yeah, for sure.
Sounds like you enjoyed it.
I did. It was a 4.5.
Oh, yeah. 4.5.
Right. Well, producer Bennett has had two, also had the blood orange sour, and had the hazy session IPA. Not sure what his ratings were on those ones, but
I guess Bennett a little late to the party on this one. So for myself, I had two as well, both the hazy IPA and the blood orange sour, and I rated them both the exact same, which was a four bottle caps.
And Chris, this seems to be a theme through the last few episodes in terms of how many beers you've had from this said place. Chris, yeah. What is that number per se?
Well, I'm sure the listeners then can guess that it's a big zero. So unlike you guys, I have not had the blood orange sour, nor have I had any other Junction beers.
That's changing in a few minutes, isn't it?
Yes, I am, though, looking forward to trying the beers that we are going to have on the episode and, you know, losing my virginity of Junction beers.
There you go. So for delivery then, just in case you want to get more after this episode, there is free same day in Toronto, delivery Monday through Saturday on 12 cans or more when the order is completed by 11 a.m. the morning of. And free shipping in Ontario otherwise with an order of $75, which shouldn't be too much to handle for any single individual. But again, we always encourage pairing with another person. Yes.
Collaborations, if you will.
Yeah.
The Taproom Bottle Shop, which is now serving stush patties. Does anybody know what a stush patty is?
I do not.
No.
It's like a Jamaican kind of thing.
Like a Jamaican patty?
Yeah. They call it stush patties. Okay. I thought it was cool. Anyway, their Taproom Bottle Shop is open Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 11 to 7, Friday from 12 to 8, Saturday from 11 to 4, and Sunday from 11 to 5.
Nice.
Well, in speaking of the tap room, have any of us been to the tap room of Junction?
That's like not. You, a big fat negative. I have not been there.
But yeah, you know what? Haven't. With two beers coming in at fours, and we'll see what the beers come in today at, I would love to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's not like there's a shortage of breweries in Toronto. Like, you could hit exactly. more than just Junction when
what,
you're there.
Really?
Yeah.
There's more than one?
There is more than one, believe it or not.
So both delivery and the tap room offers a full line of Junction products, including Junction, now Woodhouse, obviously.
Already, eh?
Yeah. True History, MVP Brewing, and Holman Brewing, just to name a couple of the different ones in their bodega section.
Nice.
Yes. Cool. Interesting. So what we're going to do is we're going to link to their information on our social media, as always.
All right. Shall we move on to the first beer, boys?
Let's do it.
All right.
And we're back. So before we begin, I want to say a big thank you to Sarah at Junction for supplying the beers for today's episode.
Yes, thank you very much, Sarah.
Yes, thank you.
Good job. I was waiting for you, Brett, to say that as well.
I can say thank you the occasional time, yes.
I appreciate that. So the first beer that we're having is the Junction Craft Pilsner, which is 4.5 ABV and 28 IBUs.
Nice. Getting the IBUs on this one, which is nice. So this beer is described as being brewed in the traditional German style and pouring a light golden color. So we hope to see that.
And it's going to deliver notes of crusty bread and slight herbal flavors with a mild bitterness and a quick dry finish. Uber refreshing.
I don't know
if that means like it's refreshing in the back of an Uber. Or like it's just very, very refreshing on the palate. Well, one of the two.
Probably not in the back of an Uber,
yeah.
Right?
Probably not.
Open alcohol, we do not condone.
No, absolutely not. So on Untappd, as always, you can follow us at Craft Beer Connoisseurs and on Instagram at Craft Beer Cons. So the overall rating for this Junction Craft Pilsner is 3.46 bottle caps out of 5. And there are 5 out of 5s for this one.
Wow.
Yeah. So we are drinking this out of the can. And for the can, there are 74 check-ins with a 3.67 overall rating for the can. So a little higher than the average.
Very nice. All right, let's grab that can and let's grab our glass and let's open her up. Ooh, crispy.
You know, that line, let's open her up, was my favorite line at Tyler's wedding a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
When he meant for let's open up the bar.
Yes, it was very nice.
You and 128 other people started cheering.
Yeah. So we are drinking this Pilsner out of a pint glass today, so make sure to use your proper glassware.
All right, so what do we got here? We do have some of that golden color, which we would expect from a Pilsner. Kind of that apple juicy, if you will.
Yes, I expect this to have some apple juice involved with it.
pretty decent head on it, actually.
Flavor, not actual apple juice. Yeah. I should correct myself.
Yeah, decent head on it. And again, you can see through, for the most part, I can see my fingers on the other side. But beyond that, you're not going to be able to see about kilometer
past. Is anybody getting bready or toast out of the aroma?
Yeah, a little bit of breadiness, I'd say. Yeah.
Yeah, it almost smells like a Wonder Bread.
Whoa, Bennett is just...
Bennett's Wonder getting bread. You right in the eyes it's with the flashlight.
President's Choice bread.
Yeah. I tell you. Fair enough. Anything else that you guys are picking up off the nose? Or again, I mean, this is a Pilsner, right? Yeah. So
you knew it was going to be clear yellow. You knew it was going to be some light gold color.
Yeah.
Right?
I would just say the smell of it, you know, makes me think that this is definitely going to be a very refreshing beer. It's, you know, smells like a beer that you would have, you know, out on the deck in the summer, for example.
Oh,
how about it smells like a beer that we should just take a sip of right now?
Hey,
yeah, I'm down with
Let's
that.
Let's do that. You guys take your first little sip and I'll entertain all the listeners with a little ditty. Ditty.
I did have my sippy poo poo.
There you go. I like that. So what are you tasting there, guys?
Almost like grass, like freshly cut grass.
Yeah.
Is that maybe that herbalness?
Yeah, I think it's very, very herbal. Earthy, yeah. Almost.
I definitely get that crusty bread that they described, and we mm-hmm. you know we mentioned that we could smell that, so that's kind of coming through the biggest for me. Not as, you know, like crisp as I might as have expected from
that, that one's later.
Yeah, true. But I do think it does have that dry finish that they talked about.
Definitely a dry finish.
Yeah,
for sure. Though.
I'm getting a little bit of bitterness. I don't know if you guys are picking up on the bitter kind of throughout. Again, not at the beginning, not at the end. It just kind of lingers there. Very German Pilsner. I can see it. I can taste it. So I think it is hitting exactly where it is. Again, the bitterness might be a bit too much, bit too strong for me. But again, that's just me.
Yeah, it's a bit more bitter than you would expect from a Pilsner, right? Like if you were, you know, if you're a Pilsner lover and you're grabbing your Pilsner, you wouldn't expect this much bitterness, I wouldn't think.
Are we almost thinking like it might have some like cereal vibes to it at all?
I'm personally not getting cereal. I'm sticking more with the breadiness, but yeah. I can kind of understand where you might go that route. But smells like a Wonder Bread and then has that kind of... I don't know, like an artisanal kind of bread. Like, again, that kind of...
Like a focaccia bun?
Yeah, kind of. Kind of like a focaccia, yeah.
See, I know my breads.
Bread boy Fife. There it is.
Now I like the carbs. What can I say?
Yeah, don't we all? Now, is it uber refreshing?
Yeah, I mean, it's a German Pilsner, and I think that for the most part, they can be uber refreshing.
I think this is on par with a typical German Pilsner that you would find at an LCBO or in Germany, perhaps.
Yeah, we wouldn't know because we haven't been to Germany.
I have not. But you want to go?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay.
I think we've talked about this before, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Tyler has enough travel points on his credit card.
Yeah, perfect. Let's
let's go.
It's on me after we get credit for the Fife trip. That one he's supposed to take.
Oh, yeah. Too, yeah, right? To Dominican, right. I think it was.
Yeah, still waiting on
that one. That one got canceled because of the whole, you know, pandemic.
There you go.
That thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that thing that happened.
All right. Let's move on to the top five flavor profiles here. And there was a note by producer Bennett. So maybe, Brett, you want to read that out first?
Yes. So producer Bennett was pre-gaming today and had a white stick and thinks this tastes similar to with less coffee and maltiness, but also a lighter flavor of that.
Interesting.
Yes. Yeah. I do actually believe I know what beer he had because I got it for him. The Blood Brothers Guilty to Remnant.
That's so nice of you. Yes. So
you guys are
nice.
So cute.
You guys are really cute. Top five flavor profiles for this beer, not that beer. Number one, clean.
I'd say it's clean. I wouldn't put that number one.
But yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing.
Okay. Number two, bitter.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, bitter.
Definitely one or two for me.
Yeah, I think bitter's definitely up there. I think probably ahead of clean for sure. Number three, piney. I'm not getting piney.
No,
I'm not either. No. And maybe people are associating the bitterness with the pininess. Like, you know how in a West Coast, the bitterness is kind of associated with the pine, but I'm definitely not getting that in this beer.
Fair enough. Okay, number four is herbal.
This is more so like a one or two for me. in terms of the herbal earthiness, if you will.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The bitter and the herbal kind of come through a little bit more. And yeah. I think we are going to see in the fifth one here that probably should be jumped up and maybe not describe exactly how it is. But with that being said, number five is biscuity.
Yeah, like I get what people are saying, but I would change this to be bready.
Yeah.
I think more so that back end, like that little last sip there, definitely has that breadiness to it. That's where it really comes out for me.
Right. And then so producer Bennett is coming in with a couple of suggestions of his own. Again, really not flavor profiles, but we've seen it before in the flavor profiles as refreshing, crushable, crisp, and light.
All suitable.
Yeah, I would go with any of those.
Yeah, and I think maybe it's that bitter herbal breadiness and then toss in any one of those two from that list of four from Bennett would probably be suitable.
Or maybe this is a beer where you go more than five.
Yeah,
because as far as I know, there's no limit on how many flavor profiles.
Yeah, on tap.
I'm sure there's a cap somewhere down the line. But
maybe
we haven't been the guys to find it.
100.
You mean there isn't the select all button?
Yeah, right.
Come on.
Oh man, that beer would be awful.
Effervescent and sour.
Yeah, exactly.
And pickle.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll get to our thoughts in a bit, but let's see what Untappd has here. So, Chris, you got the first one. So
absolutely.
Give it to us.
Absolutely. The first one comes from Dave C. Dave's handle is Rock519, so maybe living in the 519 area. On May 20th, stated, hoppy for a pills, but very nice. And Dave gave it a 3.75 out of 5.
Simple to the point.
Yeah,
that review.
Definitely. Kind of,
all right. This one comes from Jeremy M. J. McCarthy 1701 on February 12th stated, I love Pilsners and will go out of my way to try a new one. This Pils is pretty good, easy to drink, and full of flavor. I recommend it. 4.25 out of 5.
Well, thanks, Jeremy.
Now, here's the funny part about going through this. Is Jeremy stated that he likes to hang out in Home Depot parking lots and pretend he needs help loading a sofa into his van. So just so you know, this beer was neither in the Home Depot parking lot or his van.
Wow.
It was actually at home.
So why would his sofa be in the Home Depot parking lot?
You know what? That's a really good question. And I did not do the hardcore research to find that one out.
Jeremy, let us know.
Because I don't know why you're buying a sofa in a Home Depot.
Yeah, do they even sell sofas?
I haven't actually been to a Home Depot in forever, so I actually don't know.
I don't know.
I got some gift cards to one.
Yeah,
they probably have a mini fridge, though. You can probably buy a mini fridge.
Oh, they definitely have a mini fridge. Yeah.
Jeremy, let us know.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, Brett, get us started.
Yeah, so I'm going to start. Obviously, my rating's going to come in a little bit lower than Dave and Jeremy. I'm going to go with a 3.5. Again, simple to the point, straight across the board. Nothing spectacular, but nothing bad about it either.
Yeah, I'm going to come in at a 3.25. Again, it's a German Pilsner, and I think just the bitterness is a little bit too much for me, but that's okay.
Yeah. I agree with you as well, Tyler. I'm giving it a 3.25, and producer Bennett also agrees with us. He is giving it a 3.25. So overall, that gives us, what does that give us, Brett? It
gives us 3.3125. Now, I can figure this one out,
yeah,
because we have
all on your own?
Three 3.25s and one 3.5 that probably should round down to a 3.25.
Yeah, wow. I'm down with that.
Are you down with that?
I am down with that.
With okay. that.
Are you down to have another beer?
I am.
Like beer number two?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. And we're back with our second beer that we're having today. And this one is the Junction Crispy Light Lager. 3.9 ABV, 18 IBUs. Tyler, some information, please.
Yeah. So this beer is brewed with brown rice and a blend of Norwegian farmhouse ale yeasts from Escarpment Labs, which we've heard about numerous times in this podcast. We do have some notes here that were sent through. Appearance, golden honey, eggshell, white head, cloudy. Aroma, apple juice, pear, and then a Riesling.
Mm.
Okay.
Oh, apple juice again.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of brown rice in beer, I feel like.
No.
No.
I do not.
So
I've got more here.
Oh, you have more?
I do have more.
Oh,
let Tyler continue.
Flavor,
come on.
Apple, cake, cider, candied apple.
A lot of apples.
And then mouthfeel, dry and quick finish, low hop impact, medium to low mouthfeel.
Apple.
Was that apple cake or apple comma cake?
No, it's apple cake, actually.
Oh, okay.
And I'm looking at the other notes, and there's no mention of apple when it comes to the Junction Craft Pilsner. So I don't know where that came from, Brett.
Interesting.
You know what? I thought it did have some apple to it.
There you go. All right, Chris, let us know how we're finishing here.
All right, so this is described as a super easy drinking beer, not uber easy, but super easy, with subtle sweetness and a crisp, so with a K instead of a C, refreshing finish.
Okay, and untapped, there are 63 check-ins with an overall rating of 3.54.
Now, I believe there's also a discrepancy on Untappd for this.
We do have a small discrepancy.
So on Untappd, there is this beer, the Junction Crispy Light Lager, but there's also the Crispy Rice Lager. And it appears that some individuals using Untappd are checking in under the wrong name. So while we have, you know, 63 for the Crispy Light Lager, that may not be completely accurate.
Yeah. And you know what? This is maybe a bit of a fault of Junction, actually, because the cans do look similar. We'll get into what the can looks like. But the difference between both cans isn't a whole lot. There might just be a size discrepancy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, without further ado, let's grab our can. Let's grab our glass. And let's open her up. Crispy.
Light lager.
Well, as we pour this crispy light lager into our glasses, we'll say that we're pouring it into a pint glass again. So make sure to use your proper glassware.
Ooh, that is a nice fluffy head on there.
Yeah, I poured a lot of head.
Some would say eggshell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some would almost say looks, you didn't
honestly,
pour much.
Looks like a hazy IPA on the hop here.
It kind of does.
Yeah.
So we're actually really interested in this one.
Yeah, like usually with a lager, you'll get it similar to the Pilsner that we just had where it's pretty well see-through.
Mm. Again, and this one is not. The notes that we got on this, right? Appearance, golden honey, check. Eggshell white head, check. Cloudy, check. The head on it is very fluffy. We're looking at something that looks very...
looking about two fingers, I would say.
Yeah.
Your depth.
Yeah, and it looks smooth. Like it looks like a very smooth kind of head on it. So I'm actually going to get into this right now because I do want to get some of that frothiness from the head in my sip.
Oh, let's do it then.
So not even going to smell it, just going to taste it.
Oh, I guess we could smell it. But I mean, we kind of talked about what the notes are, right?
Apple.
The aroma, apple juice, pear, Riesling. I think we're all getting that
too,
right?
I will taste it now.
Okay, good.
Interesting.
Actually, that is interesting.
So this is definitely not your typical lager.
No.
Like we mentioned that it looks like a hazy IPA. It almost tastes like a session IPA.
Yeah.
Because it's a very low alcohol percentage like a session IPA would be. And it has bitterness too, like you wouldn't expect from a lager.
Yeah. And I mean, I know we didn't talk really about the smell, the aromas that we were getting off of it. But I think when we get that profile from the brewery, we have a pretty good understanding of what it should be, and it kind of affects really kind of where we're at too. Once you hear something, you might be like, oh, I 100% get that. I am getting that with this when it comes to the flavor. There is kind of that cidery candied apple aspect of it.
Lots of apple coming through.
The aroma, the Riesling aspect as well, I think that might be because I'm getting that flavor profile as well. It's lighter in the ABVs as we discussed. And it has that candy-ish kind of flavor to it.
Yeah, the mouthfeel on this is super, super good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good mouthfeel on this. And before I get any more in-depth in the beer, I do have to talk about the can because Producer Bennett's like, talk about the can! Talk about the can! So this can here, lovely pink and yellow kind of graffiti combination, if you will.
I will.
Also, the first can, I forgot to talk about that one, had a code on it. I believe it was like a 12-digit code to, if you could, you know, win a contest or something like that. Maybe like more beer.
It's like the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory golden ticket.
Yes.
Is that what you're going to go with? I was going to go with the Christmas story, you know?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Make sure to drink your Ovaltine.
Right.
Yeah. More Ovaltine, please. Anyway.
I thought you meant the lamp because I was surprised too.
Anyway, back to the beer instead of Ovaltine. Exactly what's kind of described, that mouthfeel, that appleness, whether it be cake, cider, juice, any other form of apple, is definitely coming through strong. I could definitely see this being a very, very crushable, refreshing beer after a long work day outside, for sure.
So you never have one then?
Correct. Because I work in an office.
Never had a long work day. Love you, buddy. All right, mm-hmm. Fife, why don't you get us started with the top five flavor profiles then? How about you do that?
Sure, because Producer Bennett has nothing to chirp in with. Number one, light.
Yeah. I mean, it is a lighter beer. And we're talking both.
And I will say, sorry, that L-I-G-H-T on the can is L-I-T-E.
There you go. It's light on alcohol, but it's also light as in the drinkability of it.
But at the same time, it's not as light as like a typical lager might be, right? This is a little bit interesting. It's a little bit heavier than your typical lager.
I think it's more so the light on the ABV, not on the actual flavor itself. It's not light on flavor.
No, it's right? Not light on flavor.
I think you're kind of talking, and correct me if I'm wrong, matching up more with like the cleanness of the beer, right? Because it's got a hazy aspect. Is that what you kind of mean?
Like, well, or like, of it? You know how some beers kind of sit heavy? Like, yes. Lagers usually don't sit heavy.
This one does a bit more.
This was a little bit mm-hmm. heavier yep. than, gotcha. Yeah, yep. than a normal one.
Perfect. Thank you.
Some more sugars in this one, I'm pretty sure, maybe.
Yeah.
Sugars.
Number two, clean. What do you think? Yeah. This is a clean beer?
Wouldn't be too.
Yeah, I mean,
there's
I
so many other things
there.
I'd go with.
Yeah.
Okay. Three, crushable.
Yeah, after a long work day.
outside, right?
Outside,
I
yeah.
heard it is.
And,
it
and
is
do crushable. You work outside?
I do not.
Same.
No, but
same.
I do work long days. Crushable. I would say it's crushable.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Number four, bread.
See, not really. Like, especially having the Pilsner just before this, where it had a ton of bread in it. Like, I'm not getting a lot of the bread. We mentioned apple cake. I'm not really getting, like, the cake portion of right. that.
Again, I'd go with more of like a candied. I'd even throw an apple yeah. a little bit. If there was ever a candied apple, I'd go with that. But I don't believe that exists.
I don't think so.
Because that would be very difficult to candy every kind of fruit and yeah. put it in on yeah. top.
You mean candied strawberries wouldn't be a thing?
I mean, not in
as untapped. A farmer, I could. I don't know. Right?
In untapped, it doesn't exist.
Yeah. And number five, grainy.
Mm, yeah. Eh.
Right.
Yeah. Like I think yeah. I understand what people are getting at here. It's kind of like relating to the mouthfeel because it has like a bit of a grainy mouthfeel. But I wouldn't. This is not something I would think.
Do you
of.
Think it's kind of tied to the traditional lager type profile? And I feel like some of these flavor profiles that we're seeing are ones that you would just see with a stereotypical lager.
Yeah.
However, fair. This is not that. This,
totally.
This, to your point, is not a very. Here's a lager. You put this against any other lager out there, you're gonna say, I don't even think that is a lager, just on appearance and then even taste.
Yeah,
yeah. Right?
And I think maybe people are thinking about like the brown rice portion, which is more of like a grainier, mouthfeel of a rice than right. white rice, for example. So maybe that's what people are getting at.
But I also didn't really get the rice out of this as well, right?
Yeah, not really. And like Bennett is saying, like, what about apple? Like, I think that mm-hmm. is screaming at us as we drink through this beer. Mm-hmm. I think apple needs to be probably one or two.
Even being self-defined beer. As like a cider.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like in
yeah, if you let this ferment a little bit more, you could easily get into that cider yeah. aspect, 100%.
There you go.
Yeah. As well, I mean, speaking of other things, we should probably talk about other people's thoughts on tap of this beer. Tyler, you have the first one.
All right. I'll keep it short with Mark T. Handle, Marcaroni 1979.
That's good punniness there.
Yeah, that's a good name.
Not bad. Not bad. On April 9th said, crispy, crushable, and bready, 4 out of 5.
Now, I'm disappointed with Mark with that handle.
Yeah, me too. What about Mark?
Not putting crispy with a K in his description.
True.
The K button was broken.
All right. Well, the next one comes from Sean T. Brewmaster Tut on February 15th stated, easy drinking lager with a biscuity aftertaste, but refreshing finish. And Sean gave it a 3.5 out of 5.
Hmm. Very good. Yeah.
Okay. Chris, so, what are you going to get this?
Yeah. So I think... I've kind of had a hard time with this one because it isn't really something that we've really had before, I would say. So I'm going to give this one, it bumps it up a little bit for me because it's unique, to 3.75.
Okay. Kind of because we almost share the same name. Not really, but kind of. You thought, that you were me earlier. I'm going to go with a 3.75 as well, just to stay on that same line. Tyler?
Yeah, I think you described it really well. I'm going to be a 3.75. I agree with what you said. Is it? It is that uniqueness of it. It's not a traditional lager. If you want a traditional lager, I would say maybe not have this. But if you want something that is very unique, this is probably your game. So Bennett is going to give it a 3.5.
Oh, breaking a trend.
Chris, what do we got there?
So this is similar to the first one. Gives us an overall of 3.6875. And hold on, guys. I can do this.
Okay.
We'll round it up to 3.75.
I'm so glad you could do that. It's so nice of you.
Yeah.
Anyway, that concludes the beer of review. That concludes the beer, too, because we're finished it. But that concludes the review of Junction and the beers that we're provided for today's episode.
Very nice. Now, coming up, summer 2022. All right. So as previously mentioned, we're actually sitting down right now like we usually do.
I am sitting. Can confirm.
Can confirm as well, yes.
And we're talking about our 2022 summers. So with things returning a bit to kind of normalcy, we wanted to kind of go through what our plans look like for, you know, the hot season ahead. And also engage our listeners to let us know what you guys plan on doing this summer.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I did want to note, and this is kind of interesting, I find at least, is we have a good listenership in Nepal.
Yeah.
We have not mentioned Nepal, so let's mention Nepal. So
we're rock stars in Nepal.
Exactly. So for those listeners who are from Nepal, their summer season actually, I'm sure this doesn't come as a huge surprise, or shouldn't, is very similar to ours. Mm-hmm. So, however, it does also kind of coincide with their monsoon season. So,
Ooh. Yeah.
Not great.
Not good.
So, with that being said, there are the two seasons. I'm going to do the best to pronounce these. There's the Grishma Ritu, which is early summer, and then they've got the Barka Ritu, which is a summer monsoon season. So, that's for our listeners
you
in
know,
Nepal.
It's kind of sad that you have a season just dedicated to monsoons.
Yeah, I mean, if it happens all the time, you want to make sure you dedicate those 6 weeks.
It's like hurricane season.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, this is true. Chris, what about you? What are you doing for the summer?
Well, I don't really have any big plans. I've got some couple weeks booked off of vacation.
So you didn't tell me that.
Yeah.
Where are we going?
How was I supposed to book my time off if you didn't tell me?
I'll tell you what they are, and Thanks. Then you can decide afterwards.
Appreciate that.
My wife also is off those weeks, so I don't know if she wants
it's
you to
take it. It's almost like planned with your wife to go somewhere. Although maybe your child, too. Who knows?
Yeah, but we don't have any plans, really. So we'll kind of...
We'll staycation.
Play it by ear. Yeah, staycation. What I do plan on doing, though, is swimming in my pool. So that'll be nice.
Once the heater gets fixed or what?
Yeah.
New house, new pool, maybe a new heater.
Hopefully I won't need it in the middle of the summer. And then also, obviously, probably hit up a couple craft breweries.
Are you planning on doing any kind of like trips, like day trips or like a weekend thing and kind of including it in? Or you just...
You know, last year, we kind of talked about it on the podcast. My wife and I went up to your guys' stomping ground, Stratford. Yeah, and
we didn't even get an invite.
Yeah, well.
That was on purpose.
Yeah,
sure.
I know less for sure.
And enjoyed the Stratford area. So I think we might do something similar to that as well. And then other than that, I know there's a few wineries that my wife really likes that we'll probably hit up as well.
Nice.
Okay.
I feel
okay.
Like I'm saying everything is drinking, but...
Hot summer. Yeah. Time to get out. Right? That's what we're saying with everything that's been going on and normalcy again, right? Like it's good that you guys are planning stuff to get out.
Exactly. Yeah. Myself, I'm actually, as this episode drops, just getting back from the big metropolis of Winnipeg.
Oh.
Yes, going there for a conference. And then my wife is taking me away for my 30-30.
Do we have to thank her?
Oh, we should thank her.
You hear us?
Yeah.
So is that a surprise? You don't know where you're going?
I do not know where I'm going. I have... So actually, funny story is my wife isn't really good with the whole hiding things from Google. I open up her...
I don't want to know what that references.
What does that mean?
So I opened up her laptop one day because I need to use it for... I actually can't remember what I was using for.
And she had the user Google.
Anyway,
how did you pronounce?
And she had like, okay, well, we're staying at the Mirage in Vegas, and blah 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 blah. And it was supposed to be a surprise before that. It's like, hey, Jill, we're going to Vegas. And she's like, damn it. So then she canceled everything because nothing was set in stone. She canceled everything and it's now booked this whole new trip somewhere. Apparently, it is within driving distance now. We're not flying anymore. Ooh. So I don't know what...
That sucks. You ruined it. You kept your mouth shut.
At the same time, though, I'd already been to Vegas. I think the place I'm going, I've never been to, so I'm okay
with that. Paris, Ontario.
I have been to Paris, Ontario, actually. It is somewhere in the States. I have a good hint of one
of
three.
Don't say it because you'll cancel it again.
Yeah, exactly.
Next thing you know, you're staying local.
No, we're going to Albuquerque. It's either Nashville, Boston, or New York City.
There you go.
Yeah. It's okay. She doesn't listen to the podcast anyway.
Exactly, right? And then also going to be playing some fastball this year, fast pitch softball. Mm-hmm. Tyler said he's going to play again.
Did he? Did he commit to that?
Yeah, we didn't cut him. We can't keep coming on back.
This might be my last one.
This might be a swan song.
This might be it.
Yeah, this might be it.
If you see the cleats on the home plate at the end of the season, we all know it's time.
And producer Bennett also dabbles in fast pitch softball as well. He throws some balls that go up, rise balls.
Yeah. So what else you got going on?
That's about it. No, and then probably also some breweries involved, some little day trips when I get some time. Spend a lot of time in Point Clark at the cottage. Mm. And then maybe, you know what, I might just have to record a few episodes with you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll do that.
Chris, why don't you tell us about Bennett?
So Bennett is going to Nashville in September. That sounds
good. He's actually going to Smashville. No.
Was that one of the three that you might be going to, Brad?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you guys are going
possibly
together.
Possibly September?
Not in September. Nope.
There you go.
He is also looking forward to hitting up some brewery patios now that everything hopefully stays open, which I think we're pretty good on that front. And he has planted a garden, so he's looking for a good harvest. He actually brought, Brett, you and I, some rhubarb today. I love a good rhubarb, so I'm looking forward to trying that.
Now, Brett, did you give producer Bennett any kind of tips on the garden? give him some farmer's almanac information, basically, on when it's going to rain, when it's not?
Actually, with the white stout that he pruned with today, it's actually poured over the rhubarb. It's not with... I did not give producer Bennett any information in terms of how to plant his garden, because it's his garden, and he can do with it whatever he so chooses. He does not need information from a pristine farmer like myself help him out.
Yeah. Maybe he'll ask for help if he needs something.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what? I probably won't get a text or a phone call.
Yeah, I wouldn't wait on it.
Maybe a WhatsApp, though.
There you go.
Well, what about you, Tyler?
So I'm going to keep it pretty calm, cool, and collected like I usually do. I think I've got nothing planned. I've got a little bit of baseball, as previously mentioned. I'll do the brewery thing.
Might go to work occasionally.
Yeah,
couple times a week.
I'll go to work. I'm not huge on work. You know, taking time off of work, and it's been a struggle because after my wedding, I did take the week, but we didn't do a whole lot either. Then it was kind of
also good to come down because you know you just got married.
You got married?
Yeah.
Where was my invite?
You should have been there, man.
Oh. Yeah.
We all missed the invite, actually.
Yeah, actually, maybe we'll just post your speech. Everybody can get a good listen to that.
No. Thanks for coming out, and the drinks were good.
Yeah, exactly. Other than that, there isn't really anything planned. I'd like to do a couple day trips here and there. Now, last year, I did take some Fridays off and just kind of made like an extended long weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Again, not really a whole lot going on, but it was nice to kind of step away. And I am starting to appreciate time away from work, and I think it's a really good balance that everybody should kind of get to if they can afford it. Is to kind of step away from working all the time and really enjoy that time away.
So. Everybody needs a good work-life balance.
Yeah.
So what about biking? I know last summer you were big into the biking. Are you going to keep doing that this year?
Yeah, I think so. I'm probably going to be doing it to a little bit of a lesser extent because of the ball schedule. And now that we have full-on seasons, I'm assuming my body's not going to be completely ready to be biking every night like I used to. So
his back's still screwed.
Yeah, from the wedding. It's tough.
You're old now, man.
If only we knew a chiropractor.
I know. So without, I guess, kind of giving away everything that we're going to be looking at, as a podcast, I know we're going to be doing some more recording.
Yes.
We're going to be moving into our third season. That's going to be exciting for everybody.
Yeah.
We
also might be a little bit more out and about. I know we've kind of teased it a little bit, but now we've kind of more so got some plans in session to be outside and meet some people.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? As I said, we're going back to a little bit more normalcy, and there's a lot of these craft beer festivals. And hopefully we can get ourselves out there and see if we can meet up with some of our listeners and maybe have some really cool content coming forward. So
absolutely.
Yeah. I am looking forward to that. I don't know about you guys.
Yes.
One thing to mention, too, is, again, not to kind of tease everything out, is we've talked about education stuff in the past. I do want to kind of work for some professional goals this summer, as well as some craft beer stuff, yeah, education wise. And you'll see
intertwine
that.
Intertwine them both.
You'll see that coming forward. And just because everybody will be on our arse about it, Brett and I still need to take a cooking class.
Yes, we do. So, yeah. If anybody has some good suggestions in terms of where good cooking classes need to come at, by all means, send them our way.
You're nearly halfway through the year. So
we got 6 months. We're still good.
6 months to get it done, and then you will have achieved it.
Maybe it's just like our, because I can say this now, our wives can teach us how to cook.
No, I don't want that.
Okay.
No, I'm just here to check the box and move on. Does anybody have anything else before we wrap this puppy up?
No, just obviously looking forward to a nice summer with hopefully really nice weather.
Absolutely. And good beer.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to put on our Instagram, just to call out to see what everybody's doing for their summers. We'd love to hear it, all our listeners in Nepal and around the world, because I think we've got about 38 different countries now we have listeners from. So let us know what you're doing, even if it isn't your summer season. We would appreciate that. So we are going to be right back with our farewells. That's all for today's episode.
Thanks again for listening. Keep on listening every other Thursday as the Craft Beer Connoisseurs releases a new episode, and on our off Thursdays for a producer special.
Make sure to tell your friends, family, and your favorite person from Nepal.
There you go. So from all of us and producer Bennett, I'm Tyler.
I'm Brett.
And I'm Chris. And together, we're the Craft Beer Connoisseurs.